Please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16. And let's read together from Matthew, chapter 16. We will look at beginning in verse 13 there and read through about verse 16 or 17. Matthew 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And by the way, notice the correlation there between the Son of Man, verse 13, and Jesus himself in verse 15. Jesus is the Son of Man. In verse 16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And it's hard for me to stop right there because there's so much meat after that, but this is the point that I want to make. It ends right there, so let's stop in verse 17 and pray together. Father, we ask you this morning to open the eyes of our understanding that we might see truth from the Word of God and that we might come to know who the Lord Jesus Christ truly is and be in total surrender to him with our complete lives for the glory of your name. We thank you for it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. So this morning I want to talk to you for a few minutes about having the ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Eyes that see, ears that hear, as the scripture tells us. Jesus would say from time to time after his teachings in the Gospels at the end of some of the parables, and then also in the book of the Revelation, Jesus would say, "All those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church." And what I want you to understand today is that God wants all of us to have hearing ears, seeing eyes. Our God is a speaking God, and he wants to speak revelation to all of us. He wants us to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He wants us to know what his will is for our lives. So many things that he wants to speak to us about, but he is a speaking God. And God wants all of us to hear what he has to say about the Lord Jesus and about his plan for our own personal lives. In Proverbs 20, in verse 12, the writer tells us there that the hearing ear and the seeing eye, God has made them both. God has made eyes to see and ears to hear because God wants us to know him. God wants us to know him. See, the thing is, guys, that God, listen, we'll talk about this in a little bit when we talk about more about the parables that Jesus taught and the way that the truths are hidden in the parables for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. But here's the thing. God wants us to know him. God wants us to see who he is. He wants us to have spiritual revelation of truth in our lives. And so he's given us the opportunity to hear and to know him. It's as if God is hiding in plain sight. He is there for us, but he wants us to search him out, to seek for him with all of our heart. And we're constantly in need of hearing the voice of the Lord. We're in constant need of knowing what God's will is for our lives. Our young people here today, hopefully you prayed about where God wanted you to go to school. You prayed about what kind of major you wanted to go into. We pray about our careers and what kind of jobs we're going to have and where we're going to live and if we're going to get married and hopefully are we going to have children. We pray about all of these things, seeking the will of the Lord. We want to know what God has and what God has in store for us as his children. Can I ask you a question, by the way? This is a little bit of a rabbit trail. But let me ask you, we've got some older folks here today, And so let me just ask you, if you can think back to your high school days, can you remember back to your high school days? Okay. Yes. Now let me ask you this question. Has your life played out? Has your life gone the way you thought it was going to go back when you were planning your life, back when you were in high school? In anybody's life gone that way? Now, we make our plans, and as I shared with you last week, I told the Lord, after I got saved, Lord, I'll do absolutely anything for you. Just don't call me to preach. And God has His plan for our life, and it's up to us to find out what that is and to submit to it. The whole reason I brought that up was I was thinking about this and needing to hear from God about our future and these kind of things. I can remember sitting in my high school counselor's office when I was about 15 or 16 years of age. And she's trying to get me on the right track, you know. What are you going to do with your life? And so we need to sign you up for the right classes to get you where you need to be and where you want to go and all of this kind of stuff. And I am 15, 16 years old. And I just wanted to ask you, did any of you really know what you wanted to do when you were 15 or 16 years old? Her question to one person says they knew what they wanted to do. She said to me, she said, well, what are you going to do when you get out of school? And my thought was, yeah, that's what I want, to get out of school. That's it. Just get me out of here. And I had no plan for anything beyond that. And I'm so thankful that God had a plan. And in searching for Him and in seeking Him out, God revealed His plan for my life. But we all have a need to hear the voice of the Spirit of God, which is, generally speaking, it's a still small voice. It's a quiet voice. I think it's in Isaiah where the prophet says, you will hear a voice speaking behind you. This is the way, walk in it. And the idea of that voice behind you is a person just right on your shoulder, whispering in your ear, this is where I want you to go. This is what I want you to do. And that's generally how God speaks to us and how God directs us. And I've heard the voice of the Lord on several things like that throughout the course of my life, that still small voice. God speaks to us in ways of conviction. God speaks to us in ways of revelation. God speaks to us in ways of preparation and all of these kinds of things to direct our lives, because He has a plan for our life. But we have to be willing to listen, guys. We have to be willing to listen to what God says to do. That's what Jesus was talking about when He says, let those who have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's that willingness to listen, that willingness to hear, that willingness to obey, it's our responsibility before God, so that when He speaks, we know what He wants and we can move in the direction of what He wants. And I know a lot of people have questions about hearing the voice of the Lord. And a lot of people think, well, I've never heard the voice of God. Can I tell you this morning that if you're a born-again Christian here today, if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm talking about really knowing. I'm not talking about like what I shared with you about my testimony last week. Last week I told you when I was a teenager, if you would have asked me if I was a Christian, I'd have said, of course I'm a Christian. I go to church. Of course I'm a Christian. I've been baptized. I've kept the rituals and all of these kinds of things. And I shared with you last week, and I hope you got this. We don't really know we're not saved until we actually get saved. And it was in that time, and when the Lord, and I shared with you my testimony of how the Lord convicted me, and I'm out driving on the road and that kind of thing. But what I want you to see is what was happening there when I realized I wasn't ready. The teaching back in the 80s was, Jesus is coming any minute. And I knew I wasn't ready. And I knew that if Jesus came, I was in deep trouble. Things were bad news for me, okay? And what happened was, what was happening, and I probably wouldn't have put it in these terms back in those days, but what was happening was, the Holy Spirit was preparing my heart. He was speaking to me. He was convicting me of the sins in my life. John tells us that, John 16, verse 7, when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And the Holy Spirit was convicting me. There was sin in my life. I wasn't right with God. I was ripe for judgment. And he was convicting me of these things. And then he convicted me about who Jesus was and is. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And you need Jesus in your life. You need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. But here's what I want to say to you. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, truly surrendered to Jesus, you have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. In other words, it takes the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us about who Jesus is. That's precisely what happens to Peter in this passage of scripture here in Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, God bless him, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Without hesitation, Peter answers the question, "You're the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus goes on to say, "Blessed are you, Simon, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you." Watch what he says. You didn't get that understanding from anybody else, from any other teaching, from any other man. You didn't get that truth by spirit, by natural means. You got that truth by spiritual means. You got that truth from God Himself. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. My Father has revealed this to you. The Holy Spirit, Peter, has opened your eyes to know the truth of who I am. And brother and sister, if you have given your life to Jesus, if you've really become a Christian, then you have heard the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now again, you may not put it in those exact terms. There have been many times in my life, I can remember the first time that I was impressed by the Spirit of the Lord in my life. And it wasn't until years later that I realized what had happened, who it was that ministered to me. I was a very small child back in that day. I can't even remember, probably somewhere around 8 or 10 or 12 years old, a very young child. My family, as I shared with you last week, we were always in church. Mom and Dad saw to it, we always went to church every Sunday. I didn't like it. Like a lot of children, I was bored with church. I didn't want to go to church. It was the longest hour of the week when you had to go and sit in church and just sit and be quiet for a whole hour. And it was boring because I didn't understand it. I didn't get anything out of it. I told my dad one Sunday morning, I said, "Dad, I don't want to go to church. I don't like going to church." And to my shock, my father said, "Okay, you don't have to go to church this Sunday." All right. So the rest of the family, I got two sisters and a brother, mom and dad, they're all getting ready. They all get dressed and they all head out of the church, out of the house on the way to church. And I'm just a little kid. Now you have to understand this. Almost embarrassed to tell you, it's probably 60 years ago. These are back in the days when you slept with the windows open and doors unlocked and all that kind of stuff, okay? So they're leaving a small child home, but it's a different day when they did that, all right? So Dad said, "You can stay at home." And so they're heading out of the house, and just as he's going out of the, just before he goes out the door, Dad turns around. He comes back. He picks a Bible up, probably on the coffee table or end table, and he hands me this Bible. And he said, "You don't have to go to church with us today, but I want you to do this. I want you to do one thing." He said, "If you're going to stay at home, I want you to read just a little bit from this book." I said, "That's fine, I can do that." So they left, and I'm sitting in the house all by myself. I've got the run of the house. And so I picked up that Bible, and I opened it up to Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in that moment, as a little child, I was impressed with the reality of God. I knew that God was real. I knew that that book was His book, The Bible was the Word of God. And I just knew that I knew that I knew. I had no way I'm going to put this in any kind of spiritual terms. I know now the Holy Spirit was preparing my heart, was ministering to me, was revealing truth to me. Truth that would later lead me to where I am today. But back in those days, I never would have put that explanation on it. Mom and Dad came home. I went to church with them every Sunday after that. Still didn't like it. Still didn't get anything out of it for a long, long time. But I knew it was where I was supposed to be. And the Holy Spirit speaks to us in that way, just as an impression on our heart. The Holy Spirit speaks to us in a lot of different ways, in a conviction, in an impression. He speaks to us as we read the Bible. He speaks to us in spiritual gifts. He speaks to us in all kind of wonderful ways. He speaks to us through one another from time to time, mostly to confirm what He's already said to us directly. But God is a speaking God. I want you to get that if you get nothing else out of the message today. That God is a speaking God, and He wants to speak to every one of us. He wants to reveal truth to us. He wants to reveal His will to us. He wants to give us faith. Listen, we read a lot of stories in the Bible. The Bible tells us about Bartimaeus and his blind eyes being open, and Jesus telling him it's because of his faith that he'd received that. A woman with the issue of blood. Because of her faith, she had been made well. Other people, Jesus said, your faith has made you well. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has delivered you. Be it done to you according to your faith. And He tells us there are a lot of promises in the Bible about prayer. If we pray in faith and believe, we will receive. The prayer of faith will heal the sick, James tells us. Faith is vital in our Christian journey. Well, guess where faith comes from? The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Listen, faith comes by hearing. Listen to this. Listen to this with your spirit, not your mind. It doesn't say faith comes by reading and reading your Bible. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that word for word in that particular verse of Scripture is a word that actually speaks of divine revelation of the Spirit of God. In other words, it takes the Holy Spirit speaking into our heart for us to develop and grow faith. It takes the Spirit of the Lord to do that. And God wants us to have faith. God wants to do awesome things in our life. And God wants to speak to us about those things so that we can believe Him when He's ready to do them, so that we can receive them and walk in them. But we've got to have a willing heart. We've got to have eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that's willing to listen and understand and obey the Lord. God is a speaking God. God speaks to us by impressions and all kinds of things. As I was thinking about this, I thought about yesterday. Well, weren't the winds terrible outside yesterday? We got home last night about 7:30 after we'd done all of our stuff getting ready for today, and we were at the house, and I got ready to go out and get out of the car, and I tried to open the door, and I couldn't open the door of the car. I pushed the door, and the wind just pushed the door back almost closed tight. I had to force the door open. Becky said, you better hold on to that door so it doesn't jerk it away from you. When she said that, I remembered something else that happened a couple years ago. I went over to Lynchburg General Hospital on a Sunday afternoon. I went over there. Somebody was from our church was probably there. I went over to visit them, and it was a windy day like yesterday. I find myself a parking space, which was a miracle pre-COVID, and I got in the parking space there, and I opened the door of the car, and the wind ripped the door right away from me, and it banged up against the car next to me. I thought, oh my gosh. And of course, I did what everybody does when that happens. I looked around to see if anybody saw what had happened. There were any witnesses to what happened. But I knew immediately in my heart that I had to notify the owner of that car that my door had banged against his car. So I got a piece of paper and I wrote a note. My door hit your car. Give me a call. Put my phone number down. All that kind of stuff. Now, most people would look at that situation and everything because there was no witnesses. Nobody saw what happened. And so the general natural thinking would be, well, why not just leave? You got away with it. It wouldn't have cost you anything. Wait a minute. Watch this. If I hadn't left a note, I could have driven off. It wouldn't have cost me a dime. But let me tell you what it would have cost me. It would have cost me, yes, it would have cost me my integrity. But it also would have cost me this. You see, you say nobody saw what happened? Yeah, somebody did see. Somebody did see. And I'm answerable to him. But here's the thing. When you and I, when we hear the voice of the Spirit of the Lord and He tells us to do something, we're responsible to do that. And if we don't obey the Spirit of the Lord when He speaks to us, the Bible says our heart grows just a little bit harder as a result of that. The Scripture will say in about three different places in the book of Hebrews, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart against His word. Because what happens, brother and sister, if we harden our heart against God's word, when He speaks to us and we don't obey what He tells us to do, our heart will get just a little bit harder and it'll make it just a little bit more difficult to hear Him speak the next time He wants to speak something to us. So you think it wouldn't have cost me anything had I driven off? It would have cost me something where my relationship and fellowship with God is concerned because I hadn't obeyed what He told me to do, you see. So we have to, one of the ways that we train our hearts to be sensitive to the voice of the Spirit of God, one of the ways that we train is not only by studying the Word of God, but it's also by when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we do what He says. And we train ourselves in obedience and righteousness so that God can then speak to us again. And now our heart's still soft. We can still hear the Spirit of the Lord when He speaks to us. And we can move in whatever He wants to do. By the way, just to finish the story, the guy did give me a call. Later on that evening, the guy gave me a call. He said, I understand your door hit my car. I said, yes, sir, it did. I said, as soon as it did it, I could see it. I could see the ding. I could see the dent. He said, that door's got dings all over it. I can't tell where your door hit my car. He said, don't worry about it. Everything is fine. And I never heard a word from him after that. So I still got away, you see. By doing the right thing, I still didn't have to pay. So win-win, all right? But God is a speaking God. And God wants to speak to us and He wants to reveal things to us. Another thing that I didn't share with you last time about my testimony was about the houses that are built over here. The two houses across the little driveway over here belong to the church. We call them victory houses. And in those houses, we put people up who have had a fire or natural disaster or something like that in the community. And we put them up at no charge over in those houses. And they can live there for a month or two or three until they can get their feet back on the ground and find another place to live. And I remember when God told me about building those houses in the early days of our ministry, we would often get phone calls from people in the community who had had a fire and they're in a motel somewhere and they got kids and they're trying to, you know, keep up their bills and pay for the rent in the motel and all these kinds of things. I remember driving many years ago way out on 460, used to call it Wheelers. I don't know what it's called now out there. Doug probably can tell us. Way out on 460 out there. I went out there, a guy had called and said, my family's out here in a motel. Can you help us with a few nights of rent? until we can find another place. And so I drove out there and I paid the, I talked to the family a little bit, talked to the manager of the motel. He could confirm everything that they said, and paid for a couple nights out there. And so as I got back in the car and I'm on the way back home and I'm talking to the Lord about this, and I said, you know, Lord, there needs to be a place where families can go when they've had a situation like this and they're not having to live out of a motel and to pay all those additional expenses to everything else they've got to pay and all that kind of stuff. I mean, an individual can go to the Y, right? Or an individual can go to the Salvation Army, or frankly, an individual can crash on a neighbor's couch if it's just one person. But families, there's no place for a whole family to go together where they can stay together without having to farm out the kids all kind of places and all that kind of stuff. And I said, Lord, there needs to be a place where families can go so that they can stay together when they go through a situation like this. And just as sure as the world, I was just impressed in my heart. And I know now it was the Holy Spirit. The Lord said this. He said, you build it. And that was the vision. That's how the vision for the Victory House Ministry came to be, as the Spirit of the Lord revealed what he wanted us to do as a part of the outreach of our church to our local community. I need to move on. There's just so many ways that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to all of us and reveal truth to us and help us to walk in the ways of the Lord and experience everything God has for us in this life and in the world to come. Jesus teaches in parables in the Bible, and you can read those parables, and sometimes they're hard to understand. And we need to have ears to hear. We need to have eyes to see. We need the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us of those parables so that we can understand what God is trying to say. Jesus told a parable, for example, of a sower who sowed seed. Now, this is an agricultural society, so they understood completely what he's talking about. He said the guy goes out and he sows seed. Some of it falls on hard ground. Some of it falls on rocky ground. Some of it falls on weedy ground. And some of it falls on good ground. And the seed that falls on the good ground produces fruit. Well, they all knew that. But the idea was, what's the story behind the story? What is Jesus trying to say in what he just said? And he actually explains the parable to his apostles. And he said the sower is not sowing natural seed, but spiritual seed. He's sowing the Word of God. And when the sower sows the Word of God, he says it falls on different types of human hearts. For the soils in the parable represented the human hearts of men. Some are hard. Some are shallow. Some are more concerned with other things. But there are some who are interested in the things of the Lord. And when the seed falls on that heart that is interested in the things of the Lord, that heart will produce fruit. That life will be affected by the Word of God. You know what I believe he's really talking about there? I think he's really talking about us as individuals having a heart that's willing to be committed to what God is saying. If we're committed to what God is saying, our heart is fertile soil. Our heart has been tilled. It's been broken up. It's been prepared to receive what God is trying to say. And when we're ready to receive what God is trying to say to us, whatever God says will produce fruit in our life, we'll believe, we'll experience, we'll expect, and we'll see God do awesome things in our life. But Jesus said a lot of things in parables that you needed to have spiritual ears to understand. We shared communion together this morning. Did you know that Jesus told a crowd one day, it's recorded in John chapter 6, and we won't take the time to read it this morning. I encourage you to do it. Jesus told a crowd one day, he said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, we have nothing to do with each other. And the people who heard that freaked out. This man is talking about cannibalism. Who is this man? But see, when Jesus was talking about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, he was talking about coming into oneness with Jesus, being one with Jesus, partaking of his life, making it one with your own, entering into covenant relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what communion is all about. It reminds us that we have become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's only when we become one with Jesus that then we can begin to experience all that Jesus has for us in our lives. There's so many things that Jesus said that you have to have ears to hear and eyes to see in order to understand. Let me read one for you from John. I'm already past that. Look at Matthew chapter 11. You're in the 16th chapter. Look at the 11th chapter. Jesus very rarely ever just came out and said things straight. Okay? You remember that? In the Gospel of John, for example, in the 11th chapter, when Lazarus has passed away, and Jesus tells his disciples, we're going to go back over to Lazarus' home. Lazarus has fallen asleep. And the disciples said, if he's fallen asleep, he'll wake up. We don't have to go over there. I mean, they had just tried to kill Jesus when he was over there. And now Jesus is wanting to go back, and the disciples didn't want to go. And they said, if he's just asleep, he'll wake up. And Jesus said, no. The sleep that I'm speaking of is death. Lazarus has died. So Jesus doesn't always just say things outright, but Jesus wants us to get the truth that he's teaching by the Holy Spirit. He wants us to get divine revelation by the Spirit of God. Who he is, what his will is, what he wants to do in our life. The passage that I want to read for you this morning from Matthew chapter 11 is about John the Baptist. And if you remember, he is the forerunner for the Lord Jesus. He is preparing the way for the Lord. He is the one who has already declared, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And John would get himself into trouble because he accuses one of the political leaders of the day of living an immoral life. And so he gets arrested, and he knows he's very likely going to lose his head, lose his life. And so I pick up the story there for you in Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, where it says, now when John, while imprisoned, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples, and he said to him, are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else? And Jesus answered and said to them, let me get you the question in verse 3. He's asking him, are you the Messiah? Okay, just to cut to the chase. Are you the Messiah that we've been waiting for? The Savior, the Christ that we've been looking for? I want you to notice how Jesus answers him. Jesus, it would look like, it would have just been a whole lot easier if Jesus had just said, yes. But that's not what he does. Because he wants John and he wants all of us to get the truth of who he is by the Spirit of the Lord. Look at how he answers the question here in verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. Dead are raised. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense, who does not stumble over me. See, Jesus was on his own way to death. And it was a stumbling block for the Jews because they were expecting a conquering Messiah. Jesus is blessed as the man who doesn't stumble. But I want you to see how he answers John. John said, are you the Messiah? And Jesus, rather than just saying yes, I want you to notice that everything that he says in that following verse is something that Messiah was prophesied to do. Okay? Everything that he says, excuse me, is something Messiah was prophesied to do. And so in essence, he is saying yes. You're asking me if I'm Messiah? I'm doing Messiah work. Everything that I'm doing is what Messiah had prophesied. What do you think, John? Am I the Messiah? And see, brother and sister, that's the way we need to get the revelation of who Jesus is in our own hearts, in our own lives. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. It takes the Holy Spirit for us to see the truth of who Jesus is. And God wants to speak to us by His Holy Spirit. I've got one more passage for you this morning. We'll stay right here in Matthew and turn over to the 21st chapter with me. This is the story of the triumphal entry of Jesus on what we today call Palm Sunday, what we celebrate here today. It's recorded for us in all of the Gospels, but here in Matthew, it's recorded in chapter 21. And let's read the first 11 verses together. When they had approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats on the road. Others were cutting branches. And it's the Gospel of John, by the way, that tells us these are palm branches, hence Palm Sunday. They're cutting branches from trees and spreading them in the road. The crowd going ahead of him and those followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." Now let me just show you in this passage of scripture, God is speaking something. Jesus is speaking something to the people of his day. God is speaking something to you and me today about who Jesus is. And he wants us to get it by the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just come out and say things directly, but he gives us hints and he gives us clues. And the reason that he does that, church, is because God wants us to seek after him. God wants us to chase after him and to follow after him. I've shared with you before, if we can't find, if we don't have a reason to seek after God, we probably won't. And that's why God speaks to us in the ways that he does, so that we have to seek after him to find out what the truth is. It's why so many things happen in our lives that we don't understand. It's so that we'll have to seek after him in order to find the truth of what's going on there. He allows things and he speaks things and he does things so that we will seek after him. Because he promises, if you seek, you'll find. If you seek, you'll find. A lot of us, listen, a lot of us aren't finding anything. You know why? Yeah, we're not seeking anything. We're not seeking anything. And yet God is still speaking to us. And I am convinced God is speaking to every one of us every day. We just don't recognize the voice. We don't recognize that voice that when we were thinking about doing something that we probably shouldn't do, and that little voice on the inside kept saying, "You don't want to be involved in that. You don't want to go there. You don't want to do that. You don't want to." You remember that voice you ignored? That's the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us. He speaks to us. We say it's conscience, and I'm not saying the Holy Spirit is our conscience, but I'm saying the Holy Spirit does speak to our conscience, you see. And that's the Spirit of the Lord speaking to us, trying to keep us out of trouble. Oh, boy, how many times do I wish as a teenager I had recognized it was the Spirit of the Lord who was speaking, trying to keep me out of trouble. How much trouble could we have avoided? But God is speaking to us, and God speaks in such a way that we have to pursue Him and seek after Him in order to find out the answers to what He's trying to say to us. I want you to understand in this passage of Scripture, and I'm almost done, Jesus is making a declaration in what He's doing. Jesus is saying something in what He's doing. Okay? That's exactly what He was doing with the John the Baptist issue. He was saying something in what He was doing. He was doing the miracles. He was doing all the things Messiah was supposed to do. And in doing those things, He was saying, I'm your Messiah. Okay? And so here in this chapter, as He comes to Jerusalem, He knows the prophet has spoken, and we read it in verse 5, Zechariah has prophesied years before that when the king of Israel really comes, the real Messiah of Israel comes, He's going to ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And because that's been prophesied, Jesus deliberately sends for a donkey. Jesus, listen, Jesus is setting this whole thing up. Nothing is by accident. Nothing is coincidence here. It's all orchestrated by the Lord Jesus Christ so that He might do something to show them who He is. Okay? And God is, listen, God is doing the same thing for you and me this morning. God is showing us in this passage of Scripture who Jesus is. The King, the Messiah, will ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. What do you know about that? Oh, here comes Jesus riding the back of a donkey. Wonder what that means. Well, we know what it means because the prophecy's right in front of us. Your King is on His way. Your Messiah is at the door. There's another clue that the Scripture doesn't actually tell us about here. Jesus is called the Son of David. The Son of David was the prophesied Messiah back when David was king and he wants to build the temple and all of these kinds of things. And Solomon is going to be his natural son, is the one who's going to build it. But David is promised back in those days that he will have a son who will be the Messiah of Israel and the King of Israel forever, the King forever, okay? Now here's the thing. When old King David dies and his natural son Solomon is going to take his place, Solomon, who is the natural son of David, okay, the title fits him too, son of David for Solomon, son of David for Jesus. When Solomon rides to his coronation as king, you read about it in 1 Kings chapter 1. He rides to his coronation on the back of a donkey. And so by riding that donkey into Jerusalem, Jesus is saying to the multitudes, and God is saying to you and to me today, Jesus is Savior, King, Son of David, ruler of the world. The question is, do you and I have the eyes to see, the ears to hear, to recognize who Jesus is? Jesus asked a question in Matthew chapter 16. Who do you say that I am? I can ask you the same question today about Jesus. Who do you say Jesus is? They said, some say He's a prophet. Some say He's a good man. Some say He's a miracle worker. But who do you say that He is? Is He Lord? Is He your master? Is He your Savior today? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you today that you are still speaking, that you are speaking, God. And you're speaking to hearts in this room today. And I believe you are drawing people to yourself out of this little group of people here today. God, there may be somebody here today that's never really surrendered their life to Jesus, so that Jesus could be their one and only, their Savior, their King, and their God. Would you draw those people to your heart this morning, Lord? There are no doubt some here today, Father, and though we have professed Christ in the past, we've walked away from our daily journey with our Savior and our King. But Lord Jesus, we know who you are, and we want to walk with you again. Father, I pray you would draw those people back to yourself this morning. Speak to them, Father, as only you can by your Spirit. Convict and convince, and draw them to yourself. Thank you, Lord, for hearing this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you stay in an attitude of prayer?